that what I see is not really you. That's not you. No. I don't even see you. And the reason for that is the real you is where? Right. And you're just living in a earth suit. Okay, so you live in an earth suit. There's going to come a time when the earth suit is going to dissolve, but the real you is going to come out. You know that? That's the beautiful thing. And so when we're talking about Resurrection Sunday, we're talking about Jesus who was buried in a tomb with his earth suit. But something happened during that time. And so when your loved one graduates or dies, the earth suit is there, but the real person goes on. So in this case of Jesus, Jesus comes back, and this is what we have, and we call the Resurrection Sunday. It's a beautiful thing. But to go back thousands of years, I mean many thousands of years, we have a dark angel coming to Eve, giving a message. And the message that the dark angel gave to Eve was a message of doom. We know it as S-I-N, which says what? Yes. But today we're going to look at a couple of ladies, women, who came to the tomb. And they were greeted by an angel of light. We call it a white angel. And when this happened, a lot of things happened that are not recorded in the Word, but at least we can think about it. So, first of all, we want to look at the woman's way. And so, let's look to Matthew 28, 1 through 8. And let's remember this. These women have come to the tomb, like you see on the screen. And what tomb did they come to? Remember what tomb they went to? It was not Jesus' tomb, was it? No. It was Joseph of? Very good. And so a lot took place in the burial of Jesus. But these ladies, they come to the tomb, and they are certainly welcomed by this bright light. And the angel says, of course, you know, he is not here, but he is what? He is risen. So let's go to Matthew 28, 1 through 8, and let's read the scripture, if you will. Follow with me, if you will. Let's read it out loud. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. Wow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So what happened? The women did what? They just hurried away. They hurried away. Now, they came to the tomb for two reasons. And we read this knowledge by looking at the other gospel writers. They came, first of all, to weep. John says that they came to weep. How many of you have gone to the cemetery and you've wept? How many of you have gone to mausoleums and wept? Yes, it's a natural thing. And for those tears that you have shed, he has died, you know that. So John tells us that they came to weep. Now, we have other gospels. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. One of the other Gospels, by the name of Luke, he was a doctor, incidentally, Dr. Luke, and he wrote and said that they went to embalm the body. Now, when I speak of the word embalming, you think of many things. Some of you on television have seen the embalming of the body. I'm sure that we embalm differently now than they did in those days, but they went there to embalm. So when you're embalming a body, what do you bring in those days? Some of you know. They bring frankincense, very good, and the other one is myrrh. I would like to have brought in a bag with the weight that historian theologians say was the poundage that these ladies brought. Would you believe 75 pounds? Wow. I don't think, well, you could, and I know you could pick up 75 pounds with no problem, but 75 pounds of myrrh and alloy, and they came there to anoint the body. Well, were they ever surprised? So the lady, the scripture said, as you read, that they were met by this angel. Now, in Psalm 16:11, and this is written many years before Jesus, David writes, "You will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay." Let me repeat. David writes prophetically, "You will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay." It's really hard to believe that somebody, well, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, could write that, and then that would actually come to pass, right? It just came to pass, right? So it's a beautiful thing to know that in the Bible we have prophetic words. Well, I heard you read that there was what kind of an earthquake? Great, violent. How many of you have ever been in an earthquake? Ooh, wow. How many of you have survived an earthquake? Well, of course you have, or you would not be here today. Okay. Okay, I've only been in one earthquake. Nanny and I were making a hospital call in Salinas, north of King City, where we were pastoring for 29 years. And we were leaving a parking lot. And as we got to the sidewalk with my foot on the brake, sitting there in the car, obviously with my foot on the brake, all of a sudden the car started moving forward. Now, this doesn't make sense. I'm pushing on the brake. The car is moving forward. And then I look and I see the windows, you know. And then Nancy says, "Guess what, honey?" Well, I didn't have to guess. I knew. And we were having an earthquake. Well, there are many earthquakes, and many of you know friends who live on the earthquake fault. But there was an earthquake fault that day in the tomb when there was this violent shaking. And what happened when it happened? What happened when the shaking occurred? Yes, rolled away. Yes, it just rolled away. Oh, that's beautiful. Okay, this happened in this lady's. And then, of course, the keepers, God terrified the enemies, but he comforted the servants. We'll talk about that later. But then the word in verse 7 is that he's risen from the dead. After 3 days, the soul of the Messiah Jesus shall return to its body and shall go out of the stone or the tomb where it has been buried. And so when that happened, let's go back to the first slide of the woman's way. When this happened, then they were told to go and tell. So they went in one direction to go and tell. But there's another group of people who went in the other direction to go and tell. Oh boy. Okay, now here's the picture of these guys. And so the men are there. They were, how many do you see? I wonder how many were there. Some say 16. Some say 4. But we know this. It's spelled G-U-A-R-D-S, and S is plural, meaning more than one. So we have two or more guards that were there. So let's just fast forward to the scripture, Matthew 28:11-15. These are the guards at the tomb. And here's what we read, and read slowly with me. While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priest everything that had happened. When the chief priest had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say, 'His disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were sleeping.' If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed, and this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this day. Now, Matthew writes this, what you just read, some believe like 6 years after the occurrence. But years and years and years have gone by, obviously, and the report was still there. Now, here's the crazy thing. They reported, when they went their way, who came and stole the body? Well, to begin with, that's an offense, capital offense. And secondly, it says here that you are to say that they stole the body while you were doing what? Now, come on, people. That's a big one. Okay, how in the world could these guards, if they were asleep, not be awakened by these women who rolled the stone away and stole the body? It's preposterous. They could not have done that. But nevertheless, they were told, they said, "We just fell asleep." So stealing a body is a criminal offense. And yet not one disciple was ever accused or arrested. Another interesting fact is, what in the world would the disciples have done if they had the body? Your guess is as good as mine. Anyway, it was a strict regulation in those days that even to touch a body would contaminate you. So obviously the disciples did not want to do that. So anyway, so everything that you read on the screen, of course, is just made up. It's just crazy. But now, Matthew adds in Matthew 27, let me read this about the guards. It says that in verse 27, while the chief priest had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, we read that, telling them, "You're to say that the disciples stole them during the night. You tell them that. And then, of course, if the report gets to the governor, we're just going to take care of you." How are they going to take care of them? They're going to take care of them with this, right? Is that still happening? Perhaps. So they were told to keep quiet. Keep quiet. So we have the women going one way, we have the guards going another way, and it's all culminating together that the truth cannot be silenced. Say that. The truth cannot be silenced. The resurrection was not denied even by his enemies. It was recognized. It was admitted. The money itch can be bribed even today. So back to the title, if we will, back to the title. We have people running in both directions. So the resurrection of Jesus, first of all, was a terror to the enemy, and it was a comfort to the servants. So we have two groups, a terror to the enemy, a comfort to the servants. But there's a third group, and I'm looking at right now the third group. Say, "I am in the third group." Yes, you are in the third group, because I just heard you say that. It's a contemporary group in the church right now to review the witness that we have been given as a commission to go and tell. Go and tell. Go tell it on the mountain or the valley or in Los Osos, or in Morro Bay, or in Cayucas. Just go tell it. Go tell it. But how can you tell it if you don't come and tell it? How you doing? You going to tell it? Very good. Okay, this is what you got to do. You got to keep enough guts to go and tell. Thank you. Now, didn't I just hear you guys sing about, I am a child of God? Yes, a child of God, a child of God. And you may be 82, you may be two in between. You know what? You are a child of God. And you have been commissioned to G-O and T-E-L-L. Okay, how are you going to do it? How are you going to go and tell? Very good. You're reading my notes, I see. Very good. Yes. But do we do that, people? No. Brother Bill was talking about that during the worship service. So we've just got to go. We've got to share. We've got to tell. And we all have different venues to do it. One of the guys in this audience congregation right now has an evangelistic spirit. When he meets people, he talks about Jesus. I'm getting better at that. And I hope that you're getting better, too, the way you are. Because you people have been commissioned, believe it or not, you have been commissioned by Jesus. Now, if you're in the army, yes, you do it. So I do it through the internet. You can do it through talking. One way we're doing it is to send a message in a bottle. And we have a few bottles left in the back, self-stamped envelopes, which you would put your address there. A message about Jesus. And in a couple of weeks, the sea captain is going to throw them overboard, way, way out past the 2.5-mile limit. And a couple Wednesday nights ago, we lifted up our bottles. There's a picture in the back. And we dedicated, and we asked for a divine appointment that this bottle, that you, those of you who participated, would end up somewhere. Now, 40 years ago in King City, we did this. My mom and dad were there from Louisiana, and some of you have heard this story, that my dad's bottle and other bottles were taken by Nancy and me to this place called Cayou Coast, as a pier. And in those days, in the Dark Ages, you could just throw bottles over, what have you. And so we threw over a lot of bottles. And almost a year later, a guy from Bakersfield found my dad's bottle. He broke it open, and he said, I found your bottle about Jesus. I am a Jesus follower. And he said, I found it on a deserted beach 2.5 or 3 miles north of San Simeon. So it does go. The point being, people, I want you to go too. And you don't have to say it. You can show it. You know what I mean? You just can show Jesus. It's that personally, to let people know that it is not death to die. It is not death to die. Jason, it is not death to die. And let me read this poem to you. Jesus made it clear. It is not death to die, to leave this weary road amidst the brotherhood on high, to be at home with God. It is not death to close the eye long dimmed by tears and wake in glorious repose to spend eternal years. It is not death to die, to bear the stroke that sets us free from earthly chain, to breathe the air of boundless liberty. It's not death to fling aside this mortal dust and rise on strong, exalting wings, to live among the just, giver and Lord of life. In you we cannot die. Grant us to conquer in the strive and to dwell with you on high. It is not death to die. Now, you see on the tomb, in the case of Jesus, in the case of your loved ones, in the case of us, there's going to come a time when out of the tomb is going to come what represents us in the spirit. And this, of course, is just representative of the fact that it's not death to die. Jesus showed that because this is Resurrection Sunday. And it just, to me, it gives me, it's a visual that helps me know that someday I'm going to fly away. I'll fly away. I'll fly away. Because it is not death to die. So the bottom line is this. At the resurrection of Jesus, on that resurrection morning, which we are celebrating today in this time zone now, the guards went one way and the ladies went the other way, and I want you to go the way that they did. So to do that, would you just stand and would you put muscles in your legs just to tell the message, tell the message, tell the message. Father God, I'm so grateful that you have given us the message, a message of hope, a message of peace, a message of goodwill, a message that's going to sustain not only us, but those with whom we come in contact with. And I pray that you would give each one of us courage to stand up for Jesus and to speak his name more often and to share him more often. And I come against timidity from my side and others, that we would not be so timid, but we would be bold, because after all, Jesus was bold. And I thank you for this day, what it represents for these dear people, for what they represent. And I bless you to bless the people. So my benediction is the Lord bless you and keep you all and make his face shine upon you all and give you peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we leave, would you reach your hand toward the back wall, which represents where our pastor is right now. And join with me in prayer. Dear Jesus, your servant is in need of a resurrection. And so we lift our hands toward this wall, symbolic of where he is behind the wall in his bed. And I thank you, Lord, that you are with him there. But we are asking for a resurrection in Jesus' name for this dear man of God who has served you faithfully for many, 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 many years. And the Bible says that we are to lay hands upon the sick. We are to pray for them in proxy like we're doing right now. We are to pray with faith, believing. Is anybody here having faith to believe? Yes. And so, Abba, Father, in your name of your dear son, I just pray that you would touch Pastor Mark right now, relieve the pain, strengthen his body, and yes, show a resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, thank you all for coming. And would you just fly away? All right. There's plenty of coffee and refreshments left. Fellowship, that's what the church did. They fellowship together. And again, thank you all for coming.